since we last spoke a week ago. He's covered an array of topics. You could find his work in the Register Guard, whether it's at a newsstand or on your front porch or at work or registerguard.com. Become a follower on Twitter. Use the handle at AustinMeekRG. Thus, we welcome in Austin Meek. Austin, how you doing?
Hello, Steve. I'm doing good. How are you?
Awesome. Total general question. Tomorrow night, Kobe Bryant plays his last game. 5 titles. He's Kobe Bryant. I'm not going to ask you, rank him all time. Is he the 4th best 2-guard or Laker? You've been around for his entire career. You've covered sports. 10 years from now, somebody asks you and just says, word association, Kobe Bryant. What are you going to say?
You know, I think I remember Kobe Bryant as maybe the most stubborn player of his era. You know, he's a great player. He's a talented player. But I think the thing that sticks out for me about Kobe Bryant is just his will. You know, I was reading a story today. There's a story on ESPN. It's really good if you haven't read it. Looking back at those last few games right before Kobe blew out his Achilles, which was basically the end of his career as you know, as a top-level NBA player, and just the maniacal way he was driving himself to make the playoffs, because that was the year the Lakers kind of had that super team and they really underachieved and they were in danger of missing the playoffs, and Kobe was basically playing every minute of every game
right
down the stretch to try to get them into the playoffs, which is kind of unheard of. And, you know, just that, the guy's a maniac. Clearly, psychologically, there's something different about him. You know, he and Michael Jordan are probably in some similar psychological category, some disorder they have that makes them who they are. And that's probably what I'll remember about Kobe.
Yep, Eye of the Tiger, assassin, unyielding. That's a good take. You wrote about the new college rule allowing guys to, I guess, get a gauge on their NBA status without losing their collegiate eligibility. And it's kind of strange. 60 will get drafted. And like you said, that many underclassmen have declared. Kind of an overview. This new rule, you like this? And after declaring your stance, you know, so what do you like or not like about the new rule?
I like anything that gives the players more freedom to make informed decisions about their futures, which I think this rule does. It's good that the NCAA is giving players the opportunity to go through the combine and to go through some NBA workouts and actually get a gauge on their stock before they make a decision about whether they want to leave. So I think that's good. I do think we'll have to see how this plays out, because there's some maybe unintended consequences with it, or some, you know, some aspects of it that you can't really predict. You know, all these players declaring that they're going to test the waters, they're not all going to get invited to the combine. They're certainly not all going to get drafted. You know, one thing that came up is some players who declare but don't sign with an agent, and when they come to giving out the combine invitations, I assume the combine is going to want to invite players that are serious about going to the NBA. You know, nobody wants to waste a lot of time with guys who aren't serious about it. And so, you know, is there going to be pressure on guys to go ahead and sign with an agent and show that, yes, I'm serious about this, as opposed to the guys that don't sign with agents? Is it going to be harder to get invited to the combine if you don't sign with an agent? I don't know. A lot of those things I think we're going to have to work through this year, because right now there's just so many players declaring, and obviously not all of them can get drafted.
Now, obviously there'll be coaches with issues, because then they're not sure who's coming back, who's in. With Oregon, you got Brooks, Boucher, Bell, Dorsey, who are NBA prospects. We don't know if right now. And you, in your article, you cited Dana Altman. Kind of what side of the aisle is he on regarding this, and what is he thinking about realistically who might be gone or coming back?
Well, Dana says that he's all about what's best for the players, which is, you know, what you got to say as the coach. I mean, you know, you don't want to stand up there as the coach and say, well, I'm all about what's best for me. I don't care about what's best. So Now, obviously, he's not taking issue with it. And I do think he's got the right perspective on it. You know, look, Oregon's going to be okay no matter what happens. If Tyler Dorsey decides he wants to put his name in the draft, Oregon can survive that. You know, they're not dependent on one guy. It's not like any one decision is going to be make or break for them. It's more just a matter of figuring out the numbers, and you know, they've already got three guys signed, and then a commitment from a big guy, JUCO big guy from Wyoming that they're going to add. So they've got some good players coming in. They've got some good players coming back. I don't think they're in a position where one guy deciding to go to the NBA is going to hurt them that much.
Talking with Austin Meek of the Register Guard this weekend at Hayward Field, the Pepsi. The Oregon women win, the men tie. We learn Coach Robert Johnson hates ties. Let's get to the nearly invincible Edward Cheserek, 13-time NCAA champ in Saturday's 5,000. You were there. What happened? Who took him down? And what did his coach have to say about it after?
Well, it's something you rarely see. Edward Cheserek coming down the stretch of a competitive race and the other guy leaving him in the dust. It's usually exactly the opposite of that. And that's what I think everybody expected was, you know, Cheserek was in a tight race with the guy from Washington. They were basically stride for stride on the last lap. And it looked like the Washington guy took off and Cheserek kind of geared down a little bit. And, you know, Robert Johnson, the coach, indicated that maybe Cheserek was fighting through an injury of some sort. It wasn't 100%. You know, look, I got to be honest. If you're not a track fan, I think this is maybe one of the reasons that it's hard to get into the sport because, you know, football coaches like to say, you play 12 games a year. If you can't bring it 100% 12 times a year, then you should find a different sport.
Right.
Well, with track, like, these guys will run at Hayward Field, you know, maybe once or twice or three times a year. And so when you don't see a guy running to win, I think that can be a little bit of a turnoff for non-track fans. And, you know, hey, if he was hurt or something like that, I guess, you know, you give the guy props for wanting to go out and run in front of the home fans, even if he wasn't 100%. But, it's just sometimes these track meets leading up to the NCAAs can seem like a glorified workout. And that, to me, is not a sport. You know, that's not the competitive side of sports that's really compelling.
Interesting take. Let's sneak over to Duck football. The new guy, I always say after leaving the set of that 70s show, the new quarterback coach, David Yost. Today's article, so he's saying right now he's not just getting Prukop and Johnson and this group ready. He's actually out there laying the groundwork for the future. And I don't mean next year. I'm talking about seasons into the distance.
Yeah, well, first of all, this is pressing information here. I asked David Yost, you know, the assistant coaches get to pick the music at practice. So I asked him when it's his turn, what kind of music is he going to pick? Because I think we talked about, you know, he kind of looks like a grunge guy. You know, like he's got the Kurt Cobain haircut.
Right.
And so he finally settled on Pearl Jam. That was his pick, was Pearl Jam. So if people were wondering that about David Yost, I didn't get that into the story, but a little nugget for you there. But,
and yeah, by the way, one of the least surprising discoveries ever.
Yeah, I figured either Pearl Jam or like surf rock, you know, Beach Boys or something
nice.
Like that. But yeah, in terms of the quarterbacks, you know, a big part of his job here is not just to develop the quarterbacks Oregon has, but he's going to be the guy in charge of scouting and identifying quarterbacks and making the call about who they pursue in recruiting. So he said he was on the road the whole month of January scouting quarterbacks all the way out to the class of 2020.
Wow.
Which would be an eighth grader right now. So some developing prospects there. And yeah, he's really beating the bushes because it's going to be important for Oregon, you know, coming off two straight years where they had to look to FCS transfers to play quarterback. It's going to be important for them to identify some young quarterbacks and develop the ones they have, because they've got a bunch coming in, and they're still out there looking for more.
We're talking with Austin Meek, Register Guard. So I see stuff from many of your colleagues and on Twitter, the coaches talking about, well, this is a legitimate quarterback competition. And obviously, the coaches want guys feeling the heat like they've got to earn it. So from your point of view, do you actually believe this gig is up for grabs? Or like me, would you bet a large sum of cash that Prukop is and will be the starter, barring injury?
Yeah, I'm not buying into the competition thing. I understand why they would frame it that way, especially now, because, look, you don't want to go in and just hand the job to a guy who hasn't played, even though that's basically what they did last year, but you don't want to do that every year, especially when you've got a guy who's been in the program, even though Travis Johnson hasn't been able to play because he's been hurt. He does know the system, so I understand why they would frame it that way. I think it's good for Johnson, too. I mean, if you look at him as being a guy who potentially could be the starting quarterback after Prukop leaves, then it's good for him to go through a spring where he feels like he's part of the competition. But I think if this goes into the fall, if it's like, you know, 2 weeks before the season and we're still saying who's the quarterback, that would be, I think, a bad sign, unless it means that Johnson's just been totally out of this world. It would mean that somehow things haven't come together with Prukop the way you would hope. So I think it's fine if they want to frame it as a competition for the spring, but to me, I don't see any way it's anybody other than Prukop.
All righty, and finally, only in our 24/7, 365 coverage world can satellite camps become an issue. I blame Harbaugh, but regardless, now they're banned, and the more I learn, the more I'm confused. I mean, powerhouse schools like Florida State and the SEC with just monster recruiting bases in their backyard, are they really losing recruits? Did they bully through this kind of decision? Well, what's your take on all this? Because I the more I read, the more I'm like, this ban seems kind of pointless.
I'm with you, and I'm kind of confused by the whole thing. And one of the things that's confusing to me is when you read the comments from coaches, it seems like the vast majority of coaches oppose this ban. You know, several in the Pac-12 have come out opposing it, including Mark Helfrich and Mike Leach, and obviously a lot of the Big Ten coaches oppose the ban, including Jim Harbaugh. And really, the only coaches that seem to want it are the SEC coaches, which makes you wonder, if it's all the SEC coaches, why did all these other conferences vote for the ban?
Right.
Is there some kind of funny business going on here or what? I don't know.
No, I was very confused, and we're going to talk about it later in the show about where your recruiting base is. Are they just feeling like, wow, we've got this incredible advantage, stay out of our neighborhood? It's just, it's all very confusing. All right, Austin, always appreciate your time. Enjoy the rest of your week and your weekend, and we'll catch up next Wednesday.
Okay, see you, Steve.
Take it easy.